The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
Here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. We are still snowed in, but we're still happy.
That's right. Today is January 24th, 2011. Not quite snowed in. We got maybe another half an inch today sprinkled on top of the six that we got on Thursday. But
Sam is snowed in.
Well, that's
doesn't
a
take much
different.
For him to get high-centered.
Yeah, that's... it's...
He says, you go out there.
Put down the euphemism and back slowly away.
So there you go.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage to be a dachshund in this kind of weather.
It does.
A lot
it
of
really
intestinal
does.
Fortitude, that's for sure. Well, greetings and welcome to a new week. We're smiling even though the Bears lost to the Packers.
I know. So, honey, I'm really sorry.
Well, you know, somebody had to win. And you know, I have to give a lot of credit. The third string quarterback, a fellow named Caleb Haney, a young fellow from Colorado State University, got in. It was his sixth professional football game ever. He's never started a game in the National Football League. And suddenly, because the Bears quarterback went down with a knee injury, and the second-string quarterback was in another time zone, apparently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
two yeah. series, and the coaches said, that's it, out.
It was so strange.
Yeah, Haney made it a game. But congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. We're happy for our good friend Russ Dizdar, who's a lifelong Packer backer. And we'll look forward to an excellent game between the Packers and the Steelers in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. You know what? One of my favorite moments of the game was actually a Green Bay moment, and that was when if I get my terminology wrong, please forgive me because I'm still learning football. But it looks like one of the defensive players,
nose tackle,
had caught an interception,
right,
and decided he was going to run for it.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking. It reminded me of a moment with the Bears, a couple of years ago, where a Bears defensive player who was about the same size as this young man. This young man looked like he'd had a sandwich or two.
He weighs about 340 pounds.
That's what I'm thinking. He calls himself the freezer.
Yeah, not the fridge. The freezer.
Yeah. And I loved it. He was running toward the goal line with the ball held as far out in front of him as he could get it, just in case he gets tackled. At least the ball will make it.
That's exactly. It was fun to watch. It was a good game. So, again, congratulations to the Packers and to the nose tackle, whose name escapes me. But he had an 18-yard run, and it was about a good thing it wasn't about 2 yards longer.
I know.
Lord anyway.
Love him. Well, you know, the game of football, I find it really interesting. And as I said, now that I've been married to Derek for about 13 years,
mm-hmm.
going on 14, we're in our 14th now, that I'm learning a bit about football. And when I watch it, I always think, you know, this is just war being played out in a more civilized fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on in the real world, the real wars that are going on that often don't get reported are in the streets, in Haiti, mm-hmm. in Australia, the supernatural battles that are taking place all over the world and really don't get a whole lot of press. For instance, the floods in Australia, we've talked about this a bit, they are still inundated over there.
Mm-hmm. And not getting a lot of attention from the major press. That's correct.
No, they are not.
A lot of homeless you know, the Aussies are a tough people. They're just, sucking it up and getting about the business of, finding shelter for people and looking toward the day the waters recede so they can start to rebuild. But it doesn't
mean...
They're
sending out ravens and doves.
They might be at that point. You know what? I need to get in touch with a fellow that I had on the program some months back who's originally from New Zealand And now, of course, his name is.
You know what? I remember that gentleman. I wish I could think of his name as well. I'll find it for you. Keep talking.
Yeah. JohnTheBaptistTV.com is his website. Was denied entry. He was denied an entry visa into the U.S. last fall. He was going to come through the U.S. on a, on a speaking tour. He's a traveling evangelist, basically. He was in Canada and was denied an entry visa. And so he returned home to New Zealand. He is now in Australia and has been posting items to his mailing list from places like Brisbane. And it just says that, you know, it's just hard to believe the scope of the devastation, just as it was here in the United States after Hurricane Katrina. I saw the flooding of the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers, the Great Flood of 1993, up close. Didn't affect me personally as far as where I lived, but I was able to see, you know, vast swaths of land that had been industrial land and farmland and so forth, just underneath water. When these kinds of disasters, natural disasters, take place, you think about the raw power of nature, but more properly, you think about the raw power of the creator of all this. Now, it was not his intent that we should suffer these things, but these sorts of things, sin and death, entered the world when Adam and Eve made the choice they did.
Oh, absolutely.
To buy into the lie that ye shall be as gods.
And I spent my afternoon writing a scientific article. I won't go into more of that because it's actually for a book later on. But I was delving into the lives of Watson and Crick and Rosalind Franklin and many of the people who were pioneers of what we now know as genetics and biotechnology. It constantly amazes me the hubris of scientists who believe they know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the tiniest molecule, the tiniest protein within our cells is still being researched by teams all over the world because they can't quite agree on what they do or how they function within the cell.
Mm-hmm.
Even down to the molecules, the atoms within DNA itself, we still don't quite know how they're structured. We still don't quite know how they do what they do. I mean, it's a magic when you come right down to it because we simply don't have a way of explaining. Our minds can't really grasp it, and yet we expect somehow to understand the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
How arrogant.
Well, and that's interesting because as you saw when you watched Expelled, which I've not yet watched, Ben Stein's film about intelligent design, in fact, about God being the intelligent designer, when he talked to one of the leading new atheists, Richard Dawkins,
mm-hmm.
who sadly is married to the actress who played Romana in Doctor Who.
Oh,
the second
that's
Romana.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why he was in Doctor Who.
Anyway, Richard Dawkins, when Ben Stein pressed him on this, you know, where did it begin? Well, we know it began with blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, but where did those molecules come from? Well, they formed from blah, blah, blah. Yes, but how did that happen? And finally, after going through this procedure several times and trying to deconstruct what was the spark that started everything, all Dawkins could come up with was, it maybe there was, aliens, started everything and, mm-hmm. and had started everything going, which brings us back to Watson and Crick.
Mm-hmm.
Crick is a believer or was a believer in,
panspermia, directed panspermia.
Right. Mike Heiser has talked about this, and I think this is a really good observation, something to bear in mind for Christians who push intelligent design or promote intelligent design as a sort of a stealthy way of introducing creationism into school curricula. You can go the direction of intelligent design to a point, but it may not take you where you want it to go because of guys like Crick and Dawkins
exactly.
and others who will say, okay, there is an intelligent designer, and it's a six-fingered alien from Zeta Reticuli.
Exactly. See, I believe personally that using the phrase intelligent design and thinking that's code for creation
mm-hmm.
is, well, it's naive at best. I think instead of being stealthy from our end, we are in fact being co-opted by the New Age movement.
Right, right. we should boldly proclaim what we believe.
Yes, we
believe
should.
That God created
say we
the earth.
Want creation taught, not intelligent design. We want
sure.
creation. And Almighty Jehovah God is the creator.
Exactly right. Amen. And, you know, as Christians, we know that that's not going to be a popular viewpoint.
You think?
But Jesus warned us, you know, this is the way it was going to be. They hated me first, so they're going to hate you too. And we shouldn't expect it any different. So
amen.
Just, you know, believe it and, you know, just accept it and move on.
Amen. Well, you know what else he said? He said to expect wars and rumors of wars. And that's where we go next.
Well, Middle East, of course, is always a hot spot. And we talked a bit about what's going on with Lebanon last week and Hezbollah. Withdrawing from the cabinet there, which basically caused the government to collapse under the Lebanese constitution. You have to have so many ministers to create, or so many members of their parliament, I guess, in order to create a quorum. And if you don't have a quorum, you don't have a government. And so they're trying to reform the government, which Hezbollah is trying to do. This is, some analysts believe, their way of trying to forestall the indictments of members of high-ranking members of Hezbollah.
No, I don't think it's that.
In the assassination of Hafiq Rafiri, Hariri, rather, the former prime minister of Lebanon. But
I think it's just a convenient excuse to let Iran take over.
Yeah, Hezbollah is essentially Iran's proxy in Lebanon.
It's being called the Persian Project, I think. By the March 8th Alliance?
March 14th Alliance?
Is, see.
March 14 vows to stand strong in face of Hezbollah coup.
Yep, sorry, March 8th. That's the pro-Syrian, pro-Iranian bunch. Had the wrong march.
Yep. And, this
by the way, this has nothing to do with dates that they plan on doing something. These dates are historic.
Historic, right.
Right.
Saad Hariri is the son of Hafiq. Am I getting his name correct? I better double check that and make sure I'm just not spouting off a name that sounds right.
Rafiq
Hariri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is the leader of the coalition that is trying to hold the government together in the face of Hezbollah's pressure. Yeah, that is correct. Rafiq Hariri was the one assassinated in 2005. Yes. So there's all kind of maneuvering and going on behind the scenes. And it appears, again, that we've got these puppet masters, you know, Syria and Israel and Iran and the United States.
Yes,
all behind
the United
the
States has the USS Enterprise group that has gone into the Persian Gulf, I'm sorry, the Mediterranean area, to sort of act as a buffer. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're here, therefore, because we're so scary, you're not going to dare to do anything.
Right.
Well, Iran has sent its own ships.
Gunboat diplomacy.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, you know, the Mediterranean is not a very large area for essentially enemy vessels to be maneuvering around.
No.
So that is definitely a situation to watch. Iran, sending warships not just into the Mediterranean, but also into the Red Sea. So, you know.
Yes, they're going to go right through the Gulf of, Suez Canal.
Hmm.
Which is a very tiny area,
yeah.
And that's a great spot for things to spark.
Yeah, somebody does something to an Iranian vessel, and suddenly we've got a conflict.
In the meantime, we've got what's going on in, Sudan.
Somalia? So the Sudan with the referendum on independence, but then we've also got what we talked about last week with the charges that the founder of Blackwater is backing another mercenary group to try to inject itself into Somalia's
and they're
civil
also
war.
Training guards in Palestine,
right?
Yes. Now, there also was an event that took place over the weekend, the Gang of Six, or whatever you want to call them, the countries that were trying to convince Iran not to engage in nuclear weapon making, that those whole talks broke down.
Mm-hmm.
So Syria, Iran pulled out. They're not listening to anything that the Western countries have to say.
Hmm.
So we are, I mean, really, and, you know, if the Lord does not intervene, we could easily in the next few days get involved in a major war in the Middle East, in addition to the ones we're already in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Well, they've been spoiling for it for a long time on both sides.
Yes.
And by both sides, I don't just mean Israel and, you know, Islam. I mean, you know, Israel and United States on the one side. And then you've got, you know, the added dimensions that, frankly, we don't pretend to really understand. But the Saudis are very opposed to the influence of Iran in the Middle East because Iran and Iraq are the only mm-hmm. majority Shia nations in the world. And Saudi Arabia does not like the fact that Saudi Arabia, being a very conservative, ultra-conservative Sunni nation, is very much opposed to the Shia expanding their sphere of influence.
Oh, that's very true. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. King Abdullah of Jordan has been trying to broker peace for a long time, has mm-hmm. he not?
Didn't he
leave the United States after having surgery here last fall?
I would have to look that up.
I'll look that up. But my question is it possible if he was over here that there were politics going on in the hospital room?
Well, I'd say it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility. I know King Abdullah of...
he's now recovering in Morocco.
This is King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia.
Sorry, I had the wrong king.
Yeah. There are two King Abdullahs to watch in the Middle East.
Saudi Arabia and the King of Jordan.
Yeah,
so I'm glad I remembered that it was a King Abdullah because it does enter into our conversation. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz will convalesce in Morocco while he is recovering from back surgery. The elderly monarch had spent 2 months in New York, where he underwent two operations on his back to have slipped discs repaired. I can really relate to the pain he must have been going through. But I would bet that it is very likely that he was engaging in political talks while he was here.
That's very possible. The conflict.
And why did he have to have surgery here?
Well, because we've got the best medical teams in the world.
Well, yes, one might say that. But there are also France and Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
Sweden.
Well, that's true. That's true. But so much of Saudi Arabia's money is here. So, or money that will soon be.
I actually own this hospital, so I will just have my surgery.
You're coming to see, you know, just as all those people's driving around, it's just really good for his recovery, you know. Ah, yes, I can smell the money.
Well, everything is taking place right now. As we were talking, there are protests across Lebanon against Hezbollah's coup and explosions being heard all over the country. In Tripoli, It's just been crazy. You know, Facebook, Twitter, they've been alive all day today with accounts of what's going on over there. And there are pictures now at yalibnan.com, yalibnan.com. There's a story there that I will put here so you can see it at Instapaper.
Excuse me, in case I haven't already put it there. I'll add that link to the show notes at pidradio.com.
But ordinarily, Russia would be involved in all of this. And it's kind of busy today.
You're right. Russia is very busy today, and that's a very good transition because obviously the United States and Russia don't see eye to eye on influence in the Middle East. Because again, you know, we are two more proxies or nations that are using the conflict in the Middle East as sort of a proxy war.
Mm-hmm. And if you get into the supernatural realm, then you have to look at the proxies within that, and it's all designed to bring everything to a head where there is one ring to rule them all.
Yes, very well put. But in Russia, you have probably heard in the news today a bombing at the Moscow airport, the busiest of the airports serving Moscow, and I won't pronounce this correctly, but I'll try anyway, the Domodedovo airport. At least 35 people killed, at over 180 people wounded. No one yet has claimed responsibility, although militants from Chechnya have been responsible for similar attacks in Moscow, including a double suicide bombing in the subway system in March of last year that killed 40 people. And you talk about the supernatural realm, and this was just kind of an odd confluence of numbers. And, you know, I won't say for certain it was supernatural, but you know, I carry a little iPod around with me, and I've got all the, you know, cool iPhone apps on the iPod. You know, I sometimes use it to actually listen to stuff, but usually it's there as a little handheld computer. It's got Wi-Fi, not 3G, but when I come home, it suddenly picks up the Wi-Fi signal here at home
and talks to you,
and it talks to
me.
Hello,
Derek.
Yeah, and in a sense, I came in at lunchtime today, and I heard the little tone for a news alert from the AP, the Associated Press app on the iPod. And the app showed an alert that was issued at 9:11 a.m. Eastern Time, 9:11, that 31 people had been killed, at least 31 people, and 130 wounded at the in the airport attack. So you get the 9:11, the 31, and the 13. So a couple, you know, a double 13, basically. Mm-hmm. So some very very interesting collection of numbers there released about this attack.
And there was a 23 in there too, wasn't there?
Yeah, now that you mention it, there was, and I don't recall what that 23 was. But anyway, somewhere.
23 as in chromosomes.
And as in two-thirds of the angels who were, mm-hmm. you know.
23, the number 23, great movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, so, kind of an interesting collection of numbers that gathered together there in regard to this. And this happens a lot. We see, as we talked about with the news report of the cholera outbreak in Haiti a couple of weeks ago, where they said the death toll rises to 3,333. Well, look, when we normally, we humans, round off a number, and mm-hmm. we don't have an exact figure, you know, when we say at least 30 people have been killed, instead, no, at least 31.
You know, yeah, yeah. At least normally means more than.
Yeah, yeah. Why choose these specific numbers, the 31s and the 13s, instead of just saying about 10 or at least 10 or more than 10, more than 30.
Or the 33s.
More than 3,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why the – so anyway. But this is obviously going to take up a lot of the attention of the Russian people and the Russian government here in days to come. So from a timing standpoint, if something were to break here – Russia would at least be somewhat distracted by what's happening right there in the heart of the capital, or at least just outside the capital. The airport is located just outside the capital, but the busiest airport. It would be like something happening at JFK in mm-hmm. New York,
yes.
or O'Hare in Chicago, or Hartsfield in Atlanta, or, you know, it would be a real serious distraction.
It's a big deal.
You're right. Foreign entanglements would seem to be rather unimportant. So
exactly.
Kind of interesting timing that this took place.
Speaking of Chicago.
Well, yeah, there is a story that came out of Chicago here. Did you see this about police in Chicago are actually developing a division of pre-crime?
Are they really?
Yeah, they're not calling it this, but according to the Chicago Sun-Times, since October, the police department there has had a crime forecasting unit.
Forecasting?
That's right. In Chicago.
We're not really spying on you through your phone.
They were analyzing, and this is the story starts out this way, talking about how in October, a police sergeant detached to this crime forecasting unit was analyzing 9/11 calls for service, and he produced, or this unit produced, an intelligence report predicting that a shooting would take place on a particular block on the south side of the city. And 3 minutes later, it happened. Well, that got this particular sergeant thinking, wondering if the department could produce intelligence reports even quicker to give police perhaps an hour's notice before something bad were to happen. So now they are consolidating intelligence gathered by various units of the Chicago PD under this particular gentleman's command, to improve the flow of information and produce predictions of crime before they occur. This is Minority Report in development.
Oh, it is. And do you remember how they got the pre-crime information?
Well, in Minority Report, it was psychics.
Exactly. That reminded me, they were in these pools of water, and they reminded me of the hybrids from Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Sitting in these tanks full of goo and just sort of, you know, talking about stuff, and they had to come to some sort of an agreement about what was about to happen before they would act on it. But this is very interesting in that the police in Chicago, and I presume other police departments around the country are looking at this as a way to try. And you know, okay, that's fine as far as it goes. I mean, police should be gathering intelligence from various units and trying to work on deploying their resources to hotspots, mm-hmm. to protect, you know, just to serve and protect.
Yes.
But the headline is what caught my attention, where it says police sensing crime before it happens. So how soon?
Maybe that's why Rahm Emanuel was booted from the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They sensed something that would happen, and they decided not to let it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of interesting. It makes you wonder if something like the WebBot technology.
Well, that's exactly what I thought of when you told me about it, because it makes me wonder if they are using something like that and if the whole WebBot thing is maybe a trial run and sort of research.
Yeah.
Facebook could be used.
Well, this was part of the presentation I gave in Canton, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA's venture capital group. I mean, the CIA has its own venture capital group to give money to promising new technology that might have use.
For That's
spooks.
Your tax money and mine.
Sure. I mean, let's face it, the geeks out there are quicker and faster at developing this stuff than the government.
So we're paying our government to spy on us?
Chuh. But they're investing in technologies like this that are using using social media like Facebook and Twitter
mm-hmm.
to pick up on trends and make predictions about what's happening. Why wouldn't they do this using the kind of information available to law enforcement, which is just not just social media, but also cell phone calls and things like that to make predictions like this? And who knows, at some point, perhaps even psychics in tanks of goo. I don't know. But yes, the point, I know the story that you wanted to get to in Chicago, and I think it rather amusing, actually.
Does he even live there?
Rahm Emanuel? No,
yeah.
He doesn't, and that's the whole point. They've been trying to get him booted off the ballot for months because of questions about whether Rahm Emanuel actually even lives in Chicago. And apparently now they have determined that no, he does not. The funny thing is they got a Democratic challenger who was the biggest threat to knocking Rahm out of the primaries kicked off the ballot a couple of months ago. And I don't know the details of the story, but I know some of our listeners in the Chicago area are much more familiar with the story. But there was another fellow there who got booted off for even though he complied with the requirements of the law, and Emanuel and his operation managed to get him kicked out.
This story may not be over. Emanuel could maybe launch a lawsuit over it.
Oh, no doubt.
You think?
No doubt, yeah. Oh, well, interesting. Who is now the leading contender? I mean, this would be a long time since Chicago's not had a mayor named Daley. I know there's
that. They got some quarterbacks that aren't busy right now.
That's true. Yeah, there was that interregnum there where they had Blandick, Byrne, and Washington. But, the people in Chicago just pretend that never happened. There has always been a Daley in Chicago.
Yeah.
In fact, they should just make it the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, your new name is Daley. Richard Daley. No. Anyway, so we'll see what Rahm Emanuel gets to do next. What else is going on out there? There's something else here. Oh, aerial spying, aerial drones.
Ariel Sharon?
Well, no. Well, you know, aerial drones, we've talked about this stuff before, and we're kind of running long on time here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I keep looking at I thought we were almost done.
So, anyway, well, the thing in Chicago, interesting because Emanuel was such an influence in the House and an FOB, friend of Bill.
Yes, indeed. And he left the whole Washington scene thinking that he was going to be king of
Chicago.
Second City.
Yeah. And, such is not the case. Andrew Strom. That was the name of the fellow I was trying to think of.
I showed you that a few minutes ago.
I didn't see the name on the thing there. I had to go look it up myself. Yeah, so I got that. So
you nodded at me, and I thought, okay, well, that's it. We got to go. There's that music.
I'm Derek.
Love you anyway, honey. I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone. say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon.